Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Get Out Podcast. This is episode number 5. We finally got 5 deep on this series we've been doing. So today we're going to be talking about kayaking and canoeing. This is something that, you know, I've dibble-dabbled a little bit into it. I know Spencer has a little bit, but Billy here spends half his life in a kayak. Whether he's hunting or fishing, that boy is always in his kayak. So Billy, honestly, this is going to be more of an interview against you, my friend, because obviously you're the one that spends most of the time in one and has one and does a lot of different wrecks with it, brother. So
yeah,
let's just start off, man. Like, what do you got, man? What's your setup like?
So currently, can y'all see the screen share that's up right now?
Real quick, for our listeners, so they can see this picture, go to Get Out Media Productions on Instagram. And we're going to post this picture as well as some other pictures of this kayak so y'all can see what we're talking about.
Yes.
All right. So that there is my baby. That is the Ascend 10T. So basically when I was really young, I had some friends of the family come out to dad's and they had a kayak with them. I guess they just bought it or they were had this one for a while, I don't know, but I was like, hey, I want to, being young, it's like, ooh, I want to play in it. And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And James, you know, dad's got that acre pond at the house. So we drag this thing down there and I jump in it and dude, I fell in love with it right there. So ever since then, it was just kayak, you know, give me one. I need one. But anyway, for those of you who can't see what's on our screens is the Ascend 10T. Now, this is a shallower style kayak. It's a sit on top with an elevated seat in it. Track system for multiple, you know, accessories, whether you got rod holders, paddle holders. A lot of stuff that I use is from Yak Attack, which are the Omega Series rod holders. I have their paddle holders. And I recently just got in the cell block box and transducer arm mounts for a Garmin that will be getting placed on there very shortly. It's got tie downs in there. You can run bungee cords and stuff on. 2 carry handles, 1 front, 1 back. I mean, it's just a really well balanced out kayak.
Real quick, what is the Garmin for?
The Garmin is so I can go find all the fish and the nice structure under the water. It is the 74 Echo Map SV fish finder. Basically a mini TV is going on my kayak.
You're not getting that live scope, are you?
No. I am not spending that much money.
Yo, speaking of the live scope, have any of y'all seen the video with he does all the outdoor cooking, the Cajun guy. Real funny. He does all the crawfish, shrimp boiling, all that. Yeah, Stellcracker. Did you see the one where he makes fun of live scope?
No, I have not.
y'all gotta check that one out. That one was hilarious. But Billy, so what about the 10T drew you to it? Because I know there's a lot of different brands, and I know Ascent has a ton of models. So what was it about the 10T that drew you to it?
So the big thing that drew me to it, funny enough, was actually the 12T. The 12T, it was nice. Obviously, you know, 2 foot extra space. But
yeah, talk about the name and what that actually means.
Oh, geez, you're asking me to do hard things. Oh, boy.
At least the numbers.
All right. Just read the brochure.
I didn't read. I don't know how to read. No, I'm kidding. I do know how to read sometimes. Depends on the mood. Anyway.
Hey, we're Marines.
Yeah, fair enough. So 10T, 12T, you know, the numbers are pretty self-explanatory. 12 foot, 10 foot. The T, don't ask me. It's probably just part of the model number. I don't know. But so I had a 12T prior to getting this 10T, and for some reason, I just don't know if it was my kayak or if it's just some fluke thing with the 12T, but it always leaned to the left. I don't know why. no matter how much I tried to adjust how I sat in the kayak or anything, it just had this weird, awkward lean to the left. And the 10T I found on Marketplace, of all things, $50. And I was like, you know what? I can't pass this up. So I went and picked it up, got rid of the 12T, got in the 10T, and it's leveled out. It's nice. It's well-balanced. I can actually stand up in this thing and cast as if I was in a normal boat. And with it not having a lean and it being nice and stable and actually being able to stand up and use it as that platform to fish was nice. And then obviously I do a lot of duck hunting out of a kayak, and having that open availability there and with the built-in rod holders that are already on it, I can actually rig up basically a framework and put, you know, my burlap and grass over the top of this framing work and use it as a mini duck blind. And I mean, it's just perfect all around, not overly expensive kayak if you go to buy one new. And I just like to sit on top stuff because you got so much more available options to kind of deck it out.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a good point that if for someone who's looking to get into kayaking, buying used is probably going to be a great way to go, because you can find some crazy good deals versus buying new. Like you said, you bought that one for $50. That's crazy good deal. Cause those things brand new are what, $300-$400?
Oh no. The 10T, you're sitting $650-$700 brand new.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's pretty common to find pretty good deals on canoes and kayaks. I know I bought my old canoe. This was probably 10 years ago, but I think I paid like $200 for it. And it was a nice big 3-person, 17-foot canoe. But when I bought my kayaks, and I had some very similar to this, but they weren't camo, unfortunately. I went to Cabela's and bought these brand new, and they were like, I think I got my 10 footer for like $350 and my 12 footer for probably $450. And actually bought my 10 footer first and then went back literally that same day and bought the 12 footer. I have no idea why I did that. I didn't have the money for that, but I had two kayaks and I really enjoyed that. So what are some of your favorite accessories on your 10T, on your kayak?
So right now, because I'm in the middle of building this thing out, I would probably say the current favorite accessory on there at this very moment are the Omega Series rod holders, because from Yak Attack, they developed this lock and load system, and you can pop the levers on the side. You can remove the rod holder off of its base, switch it around to a different location, or you can, you know, because it's a track system base. For those who are heavy kayak fishermen, they know the track systems on there. You can take the bases and, you know, moving around into different track spots. And then you can have multiple of these little bases set up everywhere. So if you want to change the location of your lock and load Omega Series from Yak Attack, you can just pop the levers and then just start placing them on the different bases that you have set up on your track systems.
How long are the tracks on those?
I think the ones on mine are maybe 12 inches.
Okay. So for those who don't know, a track system is literally just a track that runs down, I guess, either side of your kayak, and they allow you to kind of mount things in different spots. So the mounts themselves actually slide onto the track, and then you can move them forward or backwards to kind of suit your needs.
No.
And those are really handy versus fixed mounts. Yeah. Because you can, you know, obviously adjust them not only to fit you better, but, you know, if you're doing different things, if you have different gear on different days, you can kind of slide them up out of the way or bring them closer to you. They're just, the adjustability is really nice on those track systems.
Yeah. And the one thing I like about the 10T is there's a track system that is right in front of you, right in the middle of the kayak. So, and I actually put one of those Omega Series rod holders right there in front of me. So,
it goes like It goes perpendicular to you in front of you?
Oh, it's essentially sitting right between my legs.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go. That's nice.
Yeah. So I can throw it in there depending on, you know, how I'm, what style of fishing I'm doing that day. Yeah. If I'm catfishing, I can, you know, throw the line out, set it right there in that center holder. And the one thing I like about the Omega series rod holders is they have a rotating collar. So once you put your rod in there, you can rotate the collar and it'll actually lock your rod in place inside of the rod holder. So it's not going anywhere.
Which is very nice, because if you've ever used fixed rod holders, which I see you have behind your seating position, which is pretty common.
Yep.
If you get hooked into like a big fish, or if you're trolling, you got your line out and you're just kind of paddling along, if it snags on something, it can rip that rod right out of the holder. Mm-hmm. And that, if you don't have like rod floats on there, or your rod and reel doesn't float, then that rod and reel could just be gone.
Yeah.
And so that really sucks. So having that locking feature on there is really nice. The other nice thing about the track systems is like that one that you have right in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's nice because you can either put a rod holder there, you can mount your fish finder there, you can mount a cup holder there. So you've always got, you know, your drink there. You can, it's, you know, hydration is obviously very important.
Yep.
Being on the water, it's amazing how thirsty you get.
Yep. And there's even a waterproofed cubby right there in front of the seat as well, and a water bag that, with a screw top as well. So that makes it nice. And also the back, kind of back to the rod holder, press a button on the rod holder towards the base, and that rod holder will go a full 360 motion. So if you don't want to sit there and have your rod dangling half off the side of the kayak or whatever you're fishing out of, and you got to retie or whatever, throw it in there, hit the button, spin it around, and you can tie it right there in front of your face and have the ease of access of both hands.
Yeah. The other nice thing about that is if you're in tight quarters, like if you're kayaking through a small tight area, you can kind of put them in line with your kayak, so they're not hanging way off the sides.
Yeah.
Because that really sucks when you have fixed rod holders that kind of point your rods out to the sides and you're going through a tight area. Cause I've had to do that before on mine, and you just have to basically pull the rod out of the holder and kind of shove it down in front of you and then paddle along, when that really kind of sucks.
Yeah. And you can adjust the pitch angles on those that I have on the kayak too. You can lay them, you can send them straight up, you can lay them straight down, whatever direction you want.
Yep. That's really, really convenient.
Oh, absolutely.
So are you just running a standard paddle? You're not running a pedal drive or a trolling motor or anything?
No pedal drive yet. In the process of looking into either buying a bracket for the trolling motor or having one made. I haven't made up my mind yet. That's going to be a little bit later down the road, because there's this kayak build. I'm going pretty crazy with it. I'm going to have all sorts of stuff on this thing.
So are you running like lights and batteries and all that kind of stuff on there yet?
I won't do lights. The only battery system that's going to be on there is going to be for the fish finder.
Mm-hmm.
But
is there a reason you're not going to run lights? You just don't use them?
I don't need them. And I've got a real nice headlamp that shoots off a pretty good beam. So there's no sense in me really putting any lights on there. And then when duck season comes around, it's just going to be a little bit of a inconvenience with setting the blinds back up into the boat, into the kayak. So it's kind of not really necessary for me.
Yeah. One thing to point out when it does come to lights is on most public bodies of water, if you're going to be paddling out there, you, especially, well, I guess only at night, probably all states, I would imagine, are going to require you at night to have at least a 360 degree light on your kayak.
Yep.
Just so that people can see you. And I think in Texas, they also require the front red and green lights as well, even on kayaks at night.
Yeah. And you can get Ozark Trail clip-on lights for like, I don't even remember. I think it was like $40 the last time I bought them, and they're battery powered. Just pop in, pop in three AAAs, and then voila, there you go.
Yeah, battery powered is super convenient for lights like that that you're not going to use very often.
No.
I will say on my old, I think on my 12 footer, I actually bought like some of those waterproof LED strips off of Amazon and literally glued them to the bottom of my kayak. I was living in Austin at the time. And so I went out 1/4 of July, took that thing out. And I was out there in the middle of Lake Austin, you know, right across from downtown and around the Barton Creek area. And, you know, all the water was lit up around me. You could see the water's not super clear there, but you could see some fish kind of around the kayak. And that was really cool. A lot of people really like that. But yeah, those are pretty nice. You can also buy like the basic red and green, blue, white, whatever lights that, you know, most places that'll sell kayaks are going to sell kayak accessories, and underwater lights are kind of a cool thing if you're looking to have a cool little kayak.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, for sure. Like a headlamp is super easy or super convenient to have, especially if you're going to be out at night.
Yeah. And usually the only time that I'm out at night is in duck season, but the places I hunt, I mean, you can't get a big boat into, and that's typically the hot spots. It's away from everybody with the big boats. It's usually me, maybe another guy that I hunt with up here, but there's really no need for lights or anything there. But I mean, we still have lights going in and out, well, at least in. I mean, very rarely do we even hunt the evenings for ducks. Just depends on the work day, but.
Yep. So, if someone wanted to get into kayaking, how do I put this? What do they need to start? Like, where should they start? Should they just go out and buy a kayak and some gear? Or do you think they should go rent one first?
I think that two things. Either if you know people with kayaks who kayak, I wouldn't say frequently, but they do it, you know, more than 3 times, 4 times a year. Go out with them. See if they'll take you out. Go out with them. If not, there are places that you can rent kayaks from that have people that go out and essentially give tours or whatever. You can rent the kayaks, go out with them. They can kind of get you lined out that way. But I mean, if you're going to go out and just buy something, go with a Sun Dolphin, something that's not crazy expensive, or even a Lifetime kayak. Get a sit on.
Yep.
I agree with you. Because if you flip a sit in, one, it's going to fill up with water and it's going to drag you down, depending on the angle you go down at. Two, you might not be able to get out, whether you're wearing a life jacket or not, in a sit-in.
Yep.
So get a sit on top, because if you roll it, you're not going down with it, because it's more than likely not going to go down. I don't even think I know of a sit on that has went down. But
I know of one, but it literally had a hole scraped in the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way they're going to go down, because they are a self-contained sealed unit. Yeah. And that's kind of one of the big, you know, advantages of a sit on top kayak versus a sit in kayak, is it's completely sealed. It's its own flotation device. As long as you don't poke a hole in it, which is actually surprisingly difficult.
Yeah. Very.
So yeah, I really like the sit on tops, and just for convenience, like, they're not as difficult to get into as a sit in kayak. So if you've got like knee problems or mobility problems or anything like that, the sit on tops are really nice, especially when you need to like stretch out your legs, because you're kind of open and free. It does give you a little bit higher of a center of gravity, so they can be a little bit more unstable. But I mean, they're, like you said, yours is pretty dang stable, like to where you could stand up in it.
Yeah.
I could stand up on my 12 footer, my 10 footer, as big as I am. I really had trouble with that, but most of these are pretty stable, especially nowadays, especially if you're just buying a recreational kayak. Yeah. I mean, they're made to be stable.
I mean, the best way to really describe a sit-on kayak is think of a surfboard with like 8-inch tall walls on around the edge.
And a chair.
And a chair. Yeah. Yeah. That's essentially what a sit-on kayak is. It's a surfboard mm-hmm. with a chair and walls.
Yep. And so the other nice thing about them is they're self-draining. So for those who don't know, there are these things called scupper holes.
Yep.
And they're just literally molded into the hull of the boat. And they're these, you know, probably 1.5-inch holes that go down through the boat. So one thing to keep in mind is that lets water in, but, you know, you're going to be floating on top of the water. So, yeah, you'll get a little bit of water in your boat sometimes. You can get scupper plugs to plug those up. So the water won't come up, but also the water won't go out at that point. So it's kind of a catch 22. It's going to be up to each person to decide which one's going to work for them, whether it's plugged or not. I always ran mine unplugged. You know, I didn't mind my tushy getting wet because I liked that it would self drain.
Yeah. I mean, I keep mine plugged, but obviously when I'm fishing, it's going to stay plugged. Now, if we're just going out for a joyride, yeah, I'll probably just pull the plugs, but
yeah. And I think once you've got some experience kayaking and you're pretty competent with it, if you want to stay dry and you're pretty confident in your kayaking ability, yeah, get you some scupper plugs, stay dry. But as a beginner, I would let that water drain out.
Just from a
safety standpoint, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been using a kayak, geez, probably going on in almost 20 years.
Wow.
I think the first time I got in a kayak, I was around 10 years old. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're old.
I'm only 28.
Yeah, I'm just not going to say how old I am. So.
Go get your walker, Spencer. It's okay.
It's downstairs. As long as I don't fall down the stairs, I'll be okay.
All right.
So people should rent or find someone who has a kayak. I think a really common place for people to start, because when you rent a kayak, a lot of times it's a whole service where they're going to take the kayaks down to whatever river, body of water, they're going to drop you off. And then they'll typically, if you're going down a river, they'll pick you up at the end and then haul everything back for you. Those are really great to do because all you have to do is basically show up and then they do all the work for you. River kayaking is really fun because like here in North Texas, most of our rivers aren't intense, I would say.
You mean not dry?
Yeah, not right now. Goodness. We got another almost 6.5 inches of rain today. Like it's still raining. So yeah, you're going to be on big wide rivers here in North Texas. I know James down where you're at in Central Texas, they have some kind of quote unquote white water, but it's nothing super extreme. No, I wouldn't even call it extreme at all.
No, not at all.
I know there's some like 2 or 3 foot drops on the Guadalupe. Other than that, I don't really know of anything really crazy. You might go over some, you know, shallow areas with rocks, but it's nothing that most competent people who can walk and stand couldn't handle.
No, and not to mention the majority of the kayaking that happens down here is typically with your fishermen. Mm-hmm. There's some large kayak fishing groups that hit up like Canyon Lake and Calaveras and Browning. That's predominantly where I see the majority of the kayaking. The big popular thing here, especially the rivers around where I'm at, you know, it's real famous for floating the river. So a lot more people do the tubes. They don't really get too much in the kayaks because majority of the time the water isn't consistent. You're constantly having to get up and walk, and no one's going to walk their kayak down the river right now. Yeah. So there's not really too much going on the river at the moment.
Yeah. And I know a lot of rivers in Texas, if you go in the middle of summer, you're going to run into that. You're going to be dragging the canoe because it's going to be shallow. There's not going to be enough flow to kind of keep you moving, especially down like, you know, you were coming through Glen Rose a couple of weeks ago. That's a pretty common place for people to go canoeing and kayaking. And if you go after like April or May, typically, you're going to be dragging your canoe quite a long ways, like several hundred yards sometimes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So you want to make sure and time your river trip right so that there's enough water where you can actually float. But I was going to say river kayaking and canoeing is really, really nice, but kayaking and canoeing on an open body of water, like lakes, I'm not going to get into oceans because that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But like lake canoeing and kayaking is a different animal, especially if there is any amount of wind, mm-hmm. especially if you're in a mm-hmm. canoe or a sit on top kayak. Because you are sitting up higher out of the water and your entire body and the boat is going to act as a sail and it's going to catch all that wind. And so be prepared if there is wind to paddle and paddle and paddle and paddle and paddle. And your mm-hmm. day can actually go from a lot of fun to really crappy in a hurry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yep. I've done it.
So for those who are, you know, thinking about getting into kayaking or canoeing, I would say start in your coves and your tributaries of your local lakes. I know I've got one here, Lake Benbrook, around where I'm at, and there's a lot of incoming tributaries and a lot of when I say protected, I mean wind protected areas. And I would say absolutely start there, because fighting the wind on an open body of water is not a place for a beginner. Mm-hmm. Or someone who isn't in very, very good shape.
Yeah.
And if you're out on a big body of water and you do get caught in the wind, go for the edge. Shoot straight to the edge of the lake or whatever body of water you're on. You're still going to fight the wind, but it's not going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because your kayak's in a smaller area of water, so to say. I mean, you're not fighting over 16 to 30 foot of water. You're fighting with 2 foot of water. Your kayak's going to glide a lot better over that 2 foot of water. You're not going to be fighting the wind as bad. And it's just going to be a lot easier to maneuver around in that.
Yeah. And the banks will somewhat protect you from the wind, especially if you've got, you know, any kind of elevation when you get to the bank or trees or anything like that. Just get as close to the bank, get out of the wind so you're not fighting that. Just try to avoid windy situations when you're a beginner, because inevitably it will happen. So I would just say don't dive off into a windy day on open water. Just let it happen naturally after you've got some experience.
Yeah. And I think one thing I was saying to this is because we have it happen far too often here in Central Texas. So I know for viewers that do listen in that are from this area, you have a lot of first-time kayakers that go out solo, and then they wind up capsizing their kayak and unfortunately don't make it home. So I would put in as a hot tip for new beginners is to go with a group. Now, you don't all have to be professionals, but go with someone who, like we use in the military, the buddy system.
Yep.
Because you never know when you could potentially find yourself in a sticky situation and you have no one to get yourself out of it. And another big thing I can mention with going in groups is Billy. We laughed about it with the Luke episode, but with the recreational boaters that are out there, from fishing boats, party barges, jet skis, and all that, is in a group of kayaks, you're clearly visible.
Yeah.
But if you're out in a singular kayak, you know, especially if you're like on a small little 8 foot kayak, you're relatively small. You're a small silhouette on the water.
Yep.
And you can run into that issue as well, is someone overlooks you. They can't see you. So being in a group really does help out as well.
Yeah. And there's options with a kayak too. They make a big orange, essentially like on the bikes, a flag, big orange flag. You can drop right into the back of the kayak. I think they design them for on the sit-ons. I haven't really looked into them, but I think if I remember looking into what I seen the other day, I think you can put them in the drain plug hole on the back corner of the kayak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They've got ones that go in the drain plugs. They've got ones that actually like hard mount, like screw on to the back.
Yeah.
They've got some that just slide in the fishing rod holders. They've got literally all kinds out there. But yeah, I would absolutely say have some kind of flag, especially if you're on open body water.
Yep.
The other thing is, like, if you're just getting started and you're not going to be hunting or fishing out of your kayak, and you to where you need to be camouflaged, get you a bright colored kayak. There's no reason to have to blend in and be camouflaged. In fact, you really want just the opposite. You want to be seen, because those big boats, those power boats, I mean, they'll get out there, and if they don't see you and they run you over, it's going to be bad news for everybody.
Yep. So don't buy a blue kayak.
Yeah. Well, if you're on blue water, if you're here in North Texas, the water's brown, so blue's going to be great.
Touche. Yeah, you definitely got that brown water up there right now, especially with all the mud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, with all this flooding, it's like, yeah, it's tan brown. It's
chocolate milk.
Yeah, for real. So speaking of safety, what other safety tips are we going to have? I think obviously wearing your PFD, your personal flotation device, wear your life jacket.
Yep, 100%.
And when it comes to buying life jackets, don't just go buy a generic life jacket if you're going to be kayaking. Buy a paddling kayak. Buy a paddling life vest. You definitely want a paddling kayak for sure, unless you have a motor on there. No, buy a paddling specific life jacket, because if you go out and you have like a wakeboarding, if you have a wakeboarding life vest, like one of those neoprene ones, you know, that's great when you're wet, but especially here in Texas where it gets really hot, when that neoprene dries out, it gets uncomfortably hot. And they're not like, when you're in the position where you're paddling and your arms are kind of up, your shoulders are up, those neoprene ones will ride up and they're going to chafe your shoulders and your neck. And it's just not going to be a good time. So get one that's made for paddling, so you have a little more movement. It's got the thinner back on it, so it's not going to push you forward in your seat. I think it's worth it to spend the extra, $10 and get one that's made for paddling.
Yeah. I mean, I use a standard life vest, but that's just my personal preference because I can adjust how my seat back. So if I want it a little reclined, hit the tabs, seat back goes back. If I want it straight up, grab a hold of it, pull them up, and boom, seat back straight up. So
what other safety tips do we have? We got our PFDs, we got our flags, our lights, especially at night.
A whistle or an air horn.
Yep, exactly, for sure.
Okay. And even a flare system.
Yep.
Because I carry, when I go out in a kayak, granted, I don't have a flag. I should probably get one, but I don't. I do have a flare gun.
Get you a camouflage flag to match your boat.
Hey, I mean, if you want to buy it for me, I'll put it on. I don't care.
I don't think that's going to do a whole lot of good.
No, probably not. But I have
the John Cena kayaks.
Touche.
There you go.
But I have a flare gun. I've got the whistle, and I do have an air horn. So I've got all of the above there. Is it necessary to carry all of that? Probably not. You know, maybe one of those flare sticks and a whistle. But
I think if you're going to have one, have a whistle.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take any batteries, any compressed air or anything. It could just literally clip onto your life vest. And all you have to do is blow into it.
Yep.
And you can get plastic ones now where they're not going to corrode or anything like that. It just stays right there on your life vest and you always have it handy.
Yeah. And it's not shown in this picture, but usually I just have my whistle tied around the seat of the kayak because now I'm in that time of the year where I don't have to wear my life jacket, but it's still got to be on board with me.
Yeah, you still have to have a life jacket.
Yeah. Like, so I'm not wearing the life jacket because I do know how to swim. But usually I have the whistle looped around the middle arm on the seat.
Yeah. I would say always have it convenient. Don't pack your whistle away somewhere where you're going to have to look for it. They're small. They're convenient. Make sure they're convenient to where when you need it, you're not having to look for it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the different types of kayaks. We kind of touched on sit-on versus sit-in. Let's talk about, for those who live in an area where they could use a whitewater kayak, let's talk about whitewater versus like a recreational or even a fishing kayak, and some of the differences and what people should look for when they're looking to buy one.
Well, the biggest one is the framework of that whitewater kayak, because depending on the rapids you go down, you got to think about it. You're more than likely going to be bouncing off of rocks. You're going to be falling off of drop-offs. So you need to have a good, solid, sturdy base or frame in that kayak.
Yeah. And I think, well, the design of it is geared for being able to turn and twist and bounce and angle forward and backward really, really easily. They're going to be a lot shorter. A lot of times they'll be a little bit wider, and they're made to move and rotate. Whereas like a recreational or a fishing kayak, they're going to have more of a keel on it. So like a center ridge. And so they're going to be made to go straight much easier and cover a lot more ground. So you don't, if you're going to be out on a big body of water, if you're going to be doing some fishing, don't buy a whitewater kayak. I get that they look cool, but it's not going to suit your needs.
No.
Especially if you're a beginner, because if you've ever sat in one, they're not the most stable craft in the world. And so they can be difficult to stay even upright for a lot of people. A regular kayak is difficult to stay upright for a lot of people. So yeah, if you're just getting into it, buy a nice stable kayak, you know, 10, 12 feet. That's going to help keep you moving straight in the direction you want to go, but they still turn when you want them to. But they're going to give you a little bit more deck and storage space, and they're just going to be more comfortable. So buy the kayak designed for what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So here, my next thing is, like, I always just went and bought a cheap paddle. I never actually had like a nice paddle. So Billy, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, what should people look for in a paddle?
Oh man. So that's really going to be geared toward what your kayak is. I mean, a lot of the times when you kind of start getting into more of the upper end kayaks, like, don't get me wrong, in a sense, a really, really good kayak, and they're very well known. And when you buy a kayak like them, they usually come with a paddle, set of paddles, and they're nice. I don't have super big paddle blades on the end of my set, but they work great because they don't create a lot of splash. And the one thing I really like about it is it's got a little hook carved into the paddle blade. And it's basically just for grabbing stuff and whatnot. But I mean, if you're just out kind of recreational.
So what do you mean a hook?
So basically they notched out a section that looks like a hook into the actual blade of the paddle. That's formed that way.
Well, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah. So you can use it to like grab your fishing line or grab something, a chunk of rope, or maybe hook on to something on the bank, like a root or something. And it's got like a little hook section, like manufactured into the paddle, which is really nice, which I've used it several times, you know, especially coming up to the docks at the boat launch and whatnot. I'll just take that and hook it around the edge of a tie off on the dock and then slingshot myself into the boat ramp.
Yeah, that's cool. I've actually never seen one like that, but it makes all the sense in the world.
Oh yeah, it's nice here. Let me see if it'll. I don't think it'll do it for me. But yeah, it's really nice. Yeah, you can kind of see it right there.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you can reach around and hook into stuff with it on there. I mean, it's super nice.
Yeah. So for those who can't see this, it's a literal notch, basically about 4 inches in from the tip of the blade. And yeah, it's literally just a little notch. It's made for hooking onto stuff. I've never seen that, but that is super handy.
Yeah, it comes in real handy. Now I have a second set of paddles in the garage there. So I think those paddles that you see on the picture, they're 54-inch. And the ones that I have outside are 60-plus, 70-plus probably. Still, same kind of smaller blade set. It's not nothing crazy. But if you're out just kind of joyriding in the kayak on a lake or whatever, and it's calm, I mean, probably a bigger paddle, you know, get more traction and, you know, gain pickup speed and whatnot when you're going off. And then you can use your paddle to control your direction. Like if you want to spin it or turn it, you know, you can put that back pressure into the water and you can spin yourself either way. And I don't know. It just really depends on the what you're really doing.
Yeah. So is that an aluminum handle on that one?
Yes, that is a 100% complete aluminum shaft.
You didn't spend the money for the carbon fiber ones?
No.
Goodness. Those things are really nice and super lightweight, but dang, they're expensive.
Yeah. And I don't think they have a, 48-inch ruler built into them that you can measure your fish with.
No. So that's actually one thing I wanted to bring up is, and I guess we're kind of jumping around a little bit here, but what are some of the tweaks? Because I think, you know, a paddle is for a beginner, a paddle is basically going to be a paddle.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and spend $400 to get a decent paddle.
No.
So I wanted to kind of jump to some of the tweaks that you can do and like little tips and tricks on your kayak to make it more convenient, especially, you know, because us fishermen, we like our little tips and hacks.
Oh yeah.
And so on your paddle, it actually has like a ruler built into it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's the way they powder coated or they etched it in or whatever, but there is a 48-inch ruler that is etched right into the end of the aluminum there.
Yeah, that's super convenient. One of the things I was going to say that I did on my 12-footer that I fished out of mainly is I actually took one of those super fine Sharpies.
Yeah.
And actually marked out, I think I marked up to like 24 inches so that when I caught a fish, I could check the length, which is cool because you could see how big your fish is and you can brag to all your friends after you add a couple of inches and a couple of pounds. But, you know, a lot of fish have certain slot lengths, which for those who don't know, it's a minimum and a maximum length. And most fish will have at least a minimum length. And so having that right there on your kayak where it's convenient is super easy. And it's something that you can do for free, really.
Yeah.
So do you have any other kind of like free tips or hacks? I guess hacks is the new word for that, that you do to your kayak to kind of make it a little bit more convenient.
So with the staying on the paddles for just a second, I like having the notch because if things get away, yep, you can use that notch to grab it or pull yourself in or whatever.
And I wouldn't recommend people cutting up their kayaks necessarily, but I could see myself adding in a little notch like that onto my paddle.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's something I'm going to do. I'm not necessarily recommending it, but it really looks convenient. So I'm going to think about maybe adding that to mine.
Yeah.
But sorry, go on.
So another thing, I feel like more paddles are going this direction. Then again, I haven't had to buy any because I got a couple pair of paddle anyway. But on the right at the start where the paddle blade actually branches off of the main shaft, if you see those two rubber cups that are sitting there, those are water blockers for paddles. Yep. One thing, you know, when I was growing up, when I had the paddle, every time I'd, you know, go through the motions, you know, paddling around, the water was always running off the blade, down the shaft, and I'm just getting completely soaked from chest to, you know, down to my knees. Mm-hmm. And then I learned about these paddle cups, these water cups, and slide them on. And what it does is it, when that water comes flying down the paddle blades onto the shaft, it hits those water cups and it bounces, deflects them off, and you will still get wet. That's no if, and, yeah, or but and questions about it. You're still going to get wet. But with those water blockers or water cups or put whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm, you have them on there, it's going to keep you from getting as wet, yep, as if you didn't have them in the first place.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, pay attention to a paddle, when set of paddles when you buy them, make sure they got those blockers on there.
Yeah, and I feel like most paddles that you're going to buy nowadays are going to have those now. At least most of the ones I've seen at like the big box stores, most of your paddles are going to come with those. And if they don't come with them, I'm sure you can find them on online somewhere for super cheap. They're absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they are a must have, especially because they're pretty dang cheap.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can, probably $10, I think, is what you can get a 2-pack for.
Yeah.
They're dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So what's some of the other, like maybe cheap gear hacks? I'll throw one out. How about, paddle clips? A lot of kayaks don't come with those, but, and they're all different kinds, but I always had the ones that are just basically a little plastic U shape that you screw onto the side of your kayak, and you literally just like push your paddle into it, and it just holds your paddle. So that if you're trying to tie a knot in a fishing line or something like that, you just want to go hands free for a second, you could just pop your paddle right into there, and it's not going to float away. It's not going to roll around. And that's another really cheap way to make your kayak more convenient and comfortable.
Yep. And like the picture I got pulled up now, that's what my paddles are sitting in, is paddle holders. The thing I like about the ones I have is the brackets that are in there are rubber wheels that are,
mm-hmm,
they actually, when you push them down, they get tight.
Yep.
Obviously with rubber traction grips. But it also has a bungee system that goes up and around and hooks back into itself on the main, mm-hmm, brackets. So not only can you bungee it down, which is probably my favorite part of those brackets, but once you bungee it down, if you move or, you know, you kind of get a little shuffled around there, the likelihood of your paddle coming out of those brackets are almost none, because you got the bungee system in there to hold them in place inside the brackets against rubber, yep, traction as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Having it clip in is really great, but you're right. Having it being able to clip in and then putting a bungee over it, it just makes it all the more secure. And especially when you're like putting your kayak in or taking it out of the water, you can just clip it in, bungee it in, and you don't have to carry that separately. And you know, it's not going to go anywhere. It's always going to be right there on your kayak. It's not going to pop off or anything like that. And that is super convenient.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would also say, if you're going to be out on the water a lot, especially if you're going to be in a little bit, maybe sketchier waters, I would run a leash. So it's basically literally just like a rope that runs from your body. You tie it onto yourself somewhere, whether it's your life jacket, or you could even tie it to the boat. It's just a short length of rope that goes from your boat or yourself to the paddle. So if there were some, you know, situation where the paddle actually got away from you somehow, maybe you didn't clip it in, you just set it down and it fell into the water, and you're trying to get a fish off the hook or something, it gets away from you, it's still tethered to your boat. Yeah. So they're called leashes, tethers, you know, whatever you want to call them. Those are, I would say, a recommendation, especially for beginners, because sometimes you just don't have that awareness of where all your gear is, because you're focused on keeping your balance and, you know, whatever else you're doing at the time. And you can make those out of literally like 550 cord or whatever. You know, you could just make them out of short rope. You don't have to go, you know, spend $20 on a paddle leash or anything.
Yeah. And that's even for guys like myself. Like, I still have a piece of 550 cord that's probably 10 foot long,
mm-hmm,
that attaches into the inside carry grip. And then,
yep,
I'll put it around the paddle behind that water blocker.
Yep, for sure.
I've lost paddles, and I'm not going to say I'm a professional kayaker, but I'm definitely experienced. And there's even the experienced ones. I've lost a paddle and been up the creek without the paddle, literally.
Yeah, literally. And being without a paddle, I mean, obviously it sounds bad, but yeah, when you have to sit there and paddle with your hands, it really sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Because your hands are not nearly as efficient as a paddle.
No.
And so I would say the same thing goes for if you're going to be carrying fishing poles or if you're going to be carrying anything in general, whether you got a cooler on the back or just whatever you've got. If you think you're going to be in sketchy water or just as a good general rule, tie your stuff off. Maybe not necessarily like have it bungeed down if you think you're going to be moving around a lot and you got like a cooler or something. But at the very least, I would leash or tether stuff that you don't want getting away from you.
Yeah,
now, absolutely. It's especially, I would say it's especially important with your paddle because as long as you have your paddle, if something falls off the boat, as long as it floats, you can go get it typically. But if it's going to sink, like if you got a fishing pole and it falls off, you don't want that to sink and get away from you. So I would say either a tether or you can get some floats for your fishing rods. I would recommend something like that. And again, those are super cheap.
Yeah.
But just make sure your stuff isn't going to float away because that really is an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. It's so, so lovely.
Yeah. So any other kind of inexpensive hacks or gear recommendations for people? I know like I'm a gear guy. That's just, I was born this way. I can't help it. I know there's obviously a lot to learn when it comes to paddling and technique. And unfortunately, that kind of stuff is rather difficult to explain on a podcast. So I tend more towards gear talk. But I think we can get into a little bit of technique. I just want to make sure we're going to cover any kind of gear tips or anything like that that might be helpful for beginners.
Yeah. And I'm going to, as far as, you know, two little things here. If your kayak has them, cool. If not, they're not crazy expensive. First one, track systems.
Mm-hmm.
Put at least two sets of tracks on your kayak. That's going to take and increase your accessory accessibility. It's going to increase that by 1,000% because you can put on extra gear. You can put on your paddle holders if it doesn't have them. You can put on rod holders, gearboxes, cup holders,
phone holders.
Yeah. And another thing, which my kayak has actually not only in the bow of the boat, but also the stern is.
That's front and back for people who don't know. The bow is the front. The stern is the back.
Yes. Anyway, there are bungee tie downs in the front and back of the kayak. And you can put in gearboxes there, bungee them down. If you got coolers, you can bungee them down over the bungee holders, you know, whatever. And you can get those for relatively cheap as well. And all they do is just drive the screw home, get them set up how you want. But even having those bungee cord tie downs there, it's going to increase your effective capacity as far as storing things that you're going to be taking along with you. So stuff's just not scattered and kind of scooting all over the kayak while you're trying to maneuver around and throw the weight off and can cause more problems. So adding those couple of things there is going to help you tremendously.
Yeah, totally agree. This is one of the first things I put online. And so I'm looking at your kayak. And by the way, if you're wanting to see this kayak, we will post it on our Instagram. That would be Get Out Media Productions on Instagram. That way you can see Billy's kayak. But the bungees are.
And if you want to see it as well, and if you want to follow the build process, you can also go to my Instagram page for Final Moment Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook. There's already a full 360 walk around with a video showing where I'm at in the build process at the current moment.
There you go. We'll make sure and tag FMO on this post. But yeah, again, the bungees are useful because I see the bow, the front of your boat is kind of flat. I mean, it's rounded, but it's just a flat place. The bungees are useful there, but also in the back, you have kind of like a dished out area, if you will, a spot to put like a cooler or backpack or something. Bungees are just as useful there, kind of coming across that, that opening. Because when you do put a backpack or a cooler or something like that in there, it's typically going to be something a little bigger, but that bungee is also going to keep stuff down in there. So it's good for flat spots and for open spots that maybe you want to keep something secured. They're just super handy in general.
Yeah. So right there behind the seat is where the four tie down ports are at for the bungee system. And that's actually fixing to get filled in. Once I get my fish finder and everything put on, that's going to get filled in with the Yak Attack's big storage box that also has six extra rod holders built into it. But that's not the point. I don't need that many rod holders. But
so that's a total of what, 10 on that kayak?
I will have
10 rod holders.
I'll have 10 rod holders on that kayak. I won't use them for rods unless you know.
I was going to say, I don't know that that's enough.
No, unless I'm taking James out fishing or, you know, the three of us are out and we need extra space to put a few extra rods, you know, then that'll be useful there. We can always just go yak to yak and rip fishing rods out. But I'm more or less putting that storage box on for the waterproof factor of not only fishing, when fishing, because I do a lot of kayak fishing. I can keep my fishing bag dry right there, or I can put a few tackle boxes or, you know, lure boxes in there, and especially duck season. Duck season in that kayak, it gets wet, muddy, nasty. It just gets bad. So having that Yak Attack box back there to keep everything dry, that's kind of the big reason that Yak Attack box is going right there behind the seat. So that's one of the many upgrades that are coming.
Yeah, keeping stuff dry when you're canoeing or kayaking always seems to be like the big challenge, aside from figuring out how to physically do it, like physically canoe or kayak. Keeping stuff dry is like the big challenge. So whether it's your Yak Attack, is it a bag or a box? It's actually a box, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a box. Big box.
Yeah. So the dry boxes are nice, whether it's the big Yak Attack one like Billy's talking about, whether it's a cooler that seals up really well, or whether it's a dry bag. They have the roll-up bags, the zipper bags. Just being able to keep stuff dry is super convenient. I will say one thing I want to recommend, because we're still kind of talking about gear, I guess. You can go to most big box stores and buy one of those, you know, 10, 12 inch rectangular snap close dry boxes. And I always ran one of those for like phone, keys, wallet. Because in my experience, those have been the most reliable and convenient way to keep stuff that you absolutely want to keep dry. I really like those. And they're, you know, they're usually these clear boxes. They've got a gasket around them and, you know, they snap close. James, you're talking about people tubing down in the in New Braunfels. And we always carry those when we're going tubing just because, you know, my wife's diabetic. So we're always keeping insulin in there. And actually, one year right before, I guess the year before, the summer before we got married, we went down and floated the river with some friends of ours. And her insulin pump, everything got wet. Because we had it in a dry, a quote unquote dry bag that did not stay dry. And that quickly turned into a disaster. So having one of those dry boxes, buy a good one, it's worth the money. And we're talking like 20, 30 bucks. You don't have to buy this massive $40, $50 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to mention when you're talking about the bags, the waterproofing stuff for like your phone and your wallet and your, you know, your important things. They actually sell those like designed specifically for that at like your Academy, your Walmarts, where not just to keep it dry, but it'll actually float. So in the event that you do knock it over, because you probably will, jigging with Jordan is not going to find your cell phone a couple of weeks later. You're actually going to still have your stuff on you. And then, because I've seen it happen numerous times where people drop their phones, drop their keys, and it's just like, yeah, good luck. Especially if you're on a big body of water, you're not getting them back.
Yep. For sure. And having it float does really make all the difference, because if it's dry at the bottom of the lake, it's not going to do you any good. And yes, when you close those up, there is a certain amount of air and that helps with the buoyancy. But yeah, just make sure and get one that's going to float.
Oh, yeah.
So real quickly, let's touch on basic technique, getting in, paddling. I think for most people, the first big challenge is getting into a canoe or a kayak. So
just full send it, bud.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing for the gear before we dive into the technique?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Please do.
So most guys who are hardcore kayakers, especially in the fishing and hunting community, know what I'm talking about here. The kayak that I have there is like, I think bare weight is like 50, maybe 60 plus pounds. That's a pain in the butt to drag. Spend decent money. Don't skimp out on this, because this is another thing that's coming to mind too, because it's starting to wear on my shoulder a little bit. Get a good set of the kayak transport wheel, kayak cart.
Also called a kayak dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go up underneath. You can strap them around, and it makes life so much easier. They have some that can fold up along the edges of your kayak as well, so you don't really have to worry about taking up storage space with them. They just kind of fold right along the edge of your kayak as well. But to save yourself the ache and the pain, and two, from tearing up the bottom of your kayak, get you a good set of kayak carts or dollies or wheels or whatever you want to call them. But anyway,
absolutely.
I'm done with the gear.
Yeah, if you have to carry your kayak more than like 30 feet, even 30 feet for some people's a bit far, because these things aren't necessarily light or easy to carry. They're big 10, 12 foot long, you know, 50, 60 pound things. And for some people, that's not easy to carry. So, yeah, if you're having to carry it, for sure, those kayak dollies are super helpful.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, if you're, you know, taking it to... you're throwing it on the truck and you're backing down the boat ramp and you're offloading it there, or you're buying them and you got a lake house and you got a dock and everything, you're probably not going to need one. But I think for most people, that's not going to be the case. So if you are having to carry it, yeah, those kayak dollies are really, really nice to have.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, technique. Again, I think for most people, getting into the kayak is probably one of the hardest parts. Billy, you got any tips on that?
So for a beginner, take your kayak. And like I said, the bottom of these things are durable. You're not going to mess it up hardly at all. But for a beginner, get your kayak about, if you have a sit on, put your kayak about 3/4 of the way into the water. And then you can jump in it and then use your body weight to shimmy it forward to get into the water.
Just to be clear, I think jump may be a bit of an overstatement.
Yeah, don't jump, but
you
know, you can
Full send it, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run and
just
jump.
Go for it.
Run and jump head first.
Like, hey, you live and you learn.
Yeah. Just like a ball player sliding in the home plate, man. Just jump in head first and go. But now, climb, obviously be easy getting in it. Cause you can even still flip yourself right there at the boat ramp. And let's be honest, people are going to laugh at you. They'll ask if you're okay, but they are going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
But,
and I think, so I'm actually looking at that picture of your kayak, and on the front, it's got a pretty harsh keel on it on the nose towards the bottom. It gets real skinny towards the front.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, just be aware that you are now creating a pivot point and it's not all the way in the water. So you can actually reduce your stability a little bit by doing that. I know a lot of people are going to struggle with that. So my suggestion, an alternative to that, would be put it parallel to the shore in about ankle deep water, and then take your kayak paddle or canoe paddle, put it across it, and use that as kind of a brace. It's really great on canoes because they have those cross braces and you can basically just set it on top of there. But yeah, use that to kind of stabilize yourself. You can even, if you have a kayak and it's lower to the water, you can even tilt a little bit to where the end of your paddle is kind of resting on the shore, on the ground a little bit. That's going to help stabilize it a little bit, and then go 1 foot at a time. Try to keep your center of gravity somewhat low. And then once you get seated, you should be pretty good to go, because you're going to be in the water. You're going to be floating. And I think that's a really good place for a lot of people to start.
Yeah, that's another way. Usually, that's what I do. I'll just put it in and then just climb into it.
Yeah. No. Obviously, the more experienced you are, you're going to find your own way of doing it.
Yeah. And two, bank angle, depending on where you're launching into, how it's set up. It determines how I'm going to get in, because there's a couple of places up here. Yeah, I have to put my kayak 3/4 of the way in the water and then climb in through the back and then shimmy it down, just because of the way the bank is angled and how deep it is where I'm at. But
yeah, and it's also going to depend whether it's, you know, a rock bank, a gravel bank, or a mud bank, and you know whether you got trees. I mean, there's 1,000 variables. Just if you're going to buy a kayak or you're going to even rent one, practice with it a little bit, and you will find the best way that works for you.
Yep.
And then over time that can change. That's perfectly okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then once you're in your kayak, obviously kayaks are going to have paddles on either end of your, I guess they're going to have blades on either end of the paddle. And then canoes are going to have more like an oar, where it's got basically a handhold on one end and then a paddle on the other. It's going to be essentially the same motion, but when you're in a canoe, you're just going to switch hands.
Yeah.
And so you're going to paddle on the side opposite of the direction you want to go. So if you're wanting to go straight, you're going to kind of go right and then left. If you want to turn more left, paddle more on the right, and that's going to push your nose left. And then obviously if you want to go more right, then you're going to paddle more on your left side.
Yep.
It takes all of about 5 to 10 minutes max to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting in is going to be the hardest part.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's especially for someone new, that's going to be probably your biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause once you're in the water, you've got room to play around and figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I think we can wrap up that. I think that's, you know, probably more information than most people are really even looking for. So quick summarize, let's say buy the right gear.
Yep.
So for most people, that's going to be sit on top kayak, get you a comfortable life vest. One that is Coast Guard approved. That's just my preference. And actually, in some places, that is a requirement. So just go ahead and buy one that's Coast Guard approved.
I think that's required law everywhere now. It has to be a Coast Guard approved life vest.
Yeah, probably so on all public waters.
Yeah.
If you're on a private lake, it's private. You can do your own thing. But I would just still recommend Coast Guard approved life jacket. And honestly, it's going to be hard to find one that isn't these days. Get you a good life jacket, start out with a paddle, just make sure it's going to be long enough. Like me, I'm 6'2", 260 pounds, got big orangutan arms. So I go with the longer paddle. If you're going to be on a sit on top kayak, you know, get you a little bit longer one. Just when you go to buy it, just talk to any store associate and they can help you figure that out, or go on Google or YouTube or whatever. As far as accessories go, just get what you think you're going to want. As you kayak or canoe, as you're paddling, you're going to figure out what's going to be best for you and what you're going to want on your boat. So make sure you're staying hydrated. But outside of that, just go out, have some fun, make sure you're staying safe. Take a buddy, because one, it's safer, and two, it's going to be more fun.
Yep.
And I think just get out and enjoy it.
Yeah. And one more thing to caveat on the whole kayak thing. Obviously, 99% of kayaks are an unpowered watercraft. So, like y'all can see on the picture here, you know, for those of y'all who can't see this, I have a launch permit. So that's what that yellow and white tag on the side of my kayak is there. Mm. Like up here in Pennsylvania, for an unpowered watercraft to be used on state waters, public waters, you have to have that launch permit for an unpowered watercraft. So check with your state's regulations on unpowered watercraft. If you have to have a launch permit, make sure you get that. If not, then you're good to go.
Yep, that's a good point, because we don't have that here in Texas.
Nope.
So it's good to be aware of that. So yeah, go again, do a little bit of research. 30 minutes of research can save you a lot of headache. That may be our catchphrase on this podcast.
Oh, at least dude, for real.
Our introductory episodes, at least. All right, so when it comes to paddling, what are some trips y'all want to do, some things y'all want to do? While we wrap up,
so the one thing that I'm looking forward to doing, especially getting back home and coming this upcoming spring, summertime, I've always wanted to do it. But now that I got the right kayak and the right gear for it, I want to get on the Trinity River and chase gar in a kayak.
There you go.
I want to go for that big, gnarly, prehistoric freshwater ride.
Yep. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be real challenging right now because that Trinity is flowing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's overflowing, actually. But, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun for sure. James, are any kind of paddling trips you're looking to do soon?
So, as far as kayaking, guys, that's why I'm going to let these two take over the show on this one. I'm not a big kayaker guy. I've done a few trips. I prefer much more either being on a bank or fishing from an actual boat, but the one that I've always wanted to do, and it's ever since I've seen John B's video of doing it, is the Devil's River trip. And for y'all that don't know, the Devil's River is a river in far west Texas that feeds into the famous Lake Amistad. It is a 4-full-day kayaking excursion that travels over 47 miles. It's actually exactly 47.7. And I've always wanted to do it. I've heard nothing but awesome things about it. So just far as the adventure side of things is probably why I'm going to do it. Now, am I going to go buy my own kayak and do it? Probably not. I'm probably going to rent one. But I definitely want to do that trip for the experience. That's high on my list.
Yeah. And again, for those that don't know, one of the big draws of the Devil's River there in southwest Texas is the water clarity. It's supposed to be like crystal clear, which in Texas, you don't get that very often. So yeah, that's on a lot of kayakers' list, especially here in Texas. I'm totally down for that. I think we should buy kayaks. I think we should go buy the clear kayaks and do that trip.
Forget the fish like finder to see the fish from the boat.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look, if I'm fixing to drop $1,800, I'm just going to go ahead and go get that Hobie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't go down that rabbit hole, man. That was one I looked at till I saw they were sitting at $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just go buy a Bass Tracker.
Yeah, right. I'm going to get a John Boat at that point.
No, honestly, though, at the end of the day, because I fished out of and, you know, I've had several different kayaks. And at the end of the day, man, Ascend, hands down, that's where my loyalties lie. I mean, great kayak, great stability, great accessory options. And not only that, I mean, through my kayak journey here, Ascend has been following and liking, you know, my posts. They've been showing their support, which I think is a big thing. You know, I'm not a professional. I'm just an everyday average Joe guy. And, you know, they have been following along on my build. They've been liking all the posts, and their customer service on top of that is top notch, 100%. I know I lost the sculpture plugs. I ended up losing a set, and or maybe I didn't get a set. I don't remember what happened whenever I had my 12T when I first had it, but I hit them up and I was like, hey, I don't have the plugs. I don't know if they got lost in shipping or if I misplaced them by accident or whatever. Within a week, man, boom, brand new plugs right to the door. Didn't cost me a dime. So
that's nice.
Ascend.
That's real nice.
Ascend, hands down, is my, that's where my loyalties lie. They're my absolute favorite. I mean, they are just, that is a 100% down to earth, care about every single customer they have, from the little guy like me up to the big high rollers that use their brand as well. So that's kind of why I'm a big Ascend guy.
Yeah. And the nice thing about that is, like, they're not a small company. Like, Ascend is, I think they're Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's in-house brand now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so they sell a lot of boats. And so to have customer service like that really, really says a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they had that level of customer service. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I was thoroughly impressed. And that's why I'll always be an Ascend guy.
Yeah. So yeah, James, you mentioned the multi-day trips. I think in a future episode, or maybe episodes, we're going to get into some canoe/kayak camping. I know I've done a little bit of that, and that's a ton of fun. So yeah, I think whether or not we do the trip, we're going to kind of get into that a little bit, but I definitely think we should get out and do a multi-day trip.
Oh, for sure. That's like I said, that's a bit my big turn on to the Devil's River trip, is mostly because of the fact that it is a multi-day expedition, and I'm just always about the adventure.
Yep. Good deal. All right, so what do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks? Anything fun?
Dude, that is where I'm getting excited about. All right, so next week, guys, is my day.
I can see you. I can literally see you drooling over there.
Yes. So next week, we're going to be getting into what's near and dear to my heart, and that is wildlife habitat conservation, and we're going to be getting into the nitty-gritty on creating, you know, water sources, food plots, everything like that for, you know, the native wildlife that's on my family property. It's something that I love to do. So we're going to get really deep into that. I know my Spencer's going to be coming down to Central Texas tomorrow, actually, and we're going to get some live recording of us getting prepped for hawk hunting coming up here soon, and in preparation for deer season that's going to be coming up in late September, early October for archery hunting. Another thing that we're actually going to continue on is our fitness and the outdoor series is about to launch. You know, we're getting those recordings done with our special guests. So stay tuned in for that. Mm-hmm. And then that's coming from me, man. That's what we're at on my side. Billy, what about you, brother?
Man, so a bittersweet thing, probably more so for the people here in, Western Pennsylvania, in a certain area. There's a very good lake up here, Kale Lake. They are going to be draining this lake soon. Dates are still to be determined, but from what I hear, it's probably going to be later in the year. But they've lifted all restrictions on this lake as far as fish go. There's no legal size limit restrictions. There's no restrictions as far as how many fish you can keep. So wow. Brother-in-law and I are going to be going out and going on a wild whirlwind of a fishing excursion very, very soon. And there's going to be a lot of footage on that. I've got the GoPro mounted to the front of the good old Ascend 10T. So there's going to be a lot of good footage coming off of that. So that's kind of a big thing that I'm looking forward to there.
Yeah. I got to ask real quick, why are they doing it?
So there is damage to the dam, and they are going to be draining to fix it.
Damn. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a See, it's funny you say that, because there's a famous YouTube video of dams breaking, and one of them is right down the road from me, here in New Braunfels. You know, they actually caught Dunbar. I think it was Dunbar Lake.
Yep.
The dam literally on live camera, the security camera just snapped. Yep. And the whole lake drained in seconds. And it was crazy to see. So, yeah, I can see why they're doing that now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking here on the internet real quick. Dam and spillway repairs this year. So, yeah, it's basically just a free-for-all. Wow, that's interesting.
Yep, it is a free-for-all. Every fish, no size limit, no, you know, keeping limits, no nothing. I mean, it's go in, get what you can, take what you want, and have fun.
Yeah, because once they draw that lake down, I mean, they're going to die anyway. So,
yep,
have fun.
Yep,
absolutely. That'd be cool, man. I'm happy for you. All right, gentlemen. Well, same time next week. We'll do it again.
Oh, yeah. Always.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for coming out.
Yep. So
absolutely, guys.
Make sure you go ahead and jump on in that kayak and tune in to get out.
Attaboy.
Yes, sir.
Later, y'all.
Later.
Later.